It's amazing how difficult it is for a man to understand something if he's paid a small fortune not to understand it.
Man. Money Machine. Show 60. End of April.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Douglas Boyer. Welcome to the Mad Money Machine, the show where we talk about the ways to get enough money to buy Guitar Hero 2 and to get enough money to be able to play Guitar Hero 2. It's called financial freedom, and it's what it's all about. Keep the money for yourself. Don't give it to those guys wearing those ties and suspenders. Well, we haven't had much of a springtime here in Northern Virginia. I don't know how the weather's been for you, but we have had winter all the way till mid-April. In fact, last Tuesday, April the 17th, I played the first game of our company golf league, and I had to wear my Under Armour along with a coat, and I actually wore gloves on both hands and a ski cap. And I don't play very well in cold weather. Embarrassed myself pretty horribly. Today, it's 84 degrees outside. 1 week later, 6 days later, it's 84 degrees outside. So we have completely skipped over springtime, gone straight into summer. But the forecast says it's going to get colder and wetter later in the week. Also, on the previous show, I talked about the do-it-yourself portfolio. And out at the website, Tom made a comment on the show notes, says, I enjoyed listening and reading your picks for the do-it-yourself investor who wants to emulate the IFA approach. After listening to your earlier shows and visiting IFA.com, I did a very similar exercise. Amazingly, you and I came up with the exact same list of ETFs, except for one. I chose VBR, the Vanguard Small Cap Value Fund, as my U.S. Small Cap Value investment instead of RZV, and that one happens to be the RIDEX S&P Small Cap 600 Pure Value Fund. And he continues and says, VBR has a lower expense ratio of 0.12 compared with RZV, which has an expense ratio of 0.35. So I was wondering why you chose RZV. Am I missing something? And I think you are right on, Tom. I think I was getting confused there. RZV probably would fit better in a micro cap, but we already have a micro cap in the IWC. So I think your VBR is the better pick. Now, the next thing you might be wondering is, how does this portfolio back test year to date? How well has it done since the beginning of 2007? So, of course, I plugged that into my spreadsheet and went out to finance.yahoo.com to get historical prices. I'll show this table out on the show notes for this show. Is up 6.6% as of Monday, April 23rd, middle of the day. How does that compare with Cramer's Stocks of the Year? You remember, beginning of January, he came out with three categories where he had stocks of the year: value, growth, and speculation. In the value, he had Altria, Halliburton, and Goldman Sachs. In growth, he had Apple, Cisco, and the New York Stock Exchange, Euronext. And in speculation, Saviour Pharmaceuticals, Rite Aid, and Level 3 Communications. If you had bought a portfolio equal weighted in your money of each one of these nine stocks, then as of Monday, April 23rd, your portfolio would be up 2.4%. Rather dismal performance compared to what you could do with a broad basket of index funds, isn't it? And I am adjusting for the Altria holders getting some shares of Kraft Foods in there. Now, sure, if you would have picked exactly the right stock, you might be up a little bit more. Goldman Sachs is up 11.4%. Rite Aid is up 10.9%. But how would you know that him being so hot on NYSE, ticker symbol NYX, that you'd lose 10%. How'd that make you feel to lose 10%? Or about Cisco, one of his stocks of the year? How does it make you feel to lose 6.4%? Probably not very good. So you remember on the last show we talked about the crystal ball, and the show before that I talked about finding the music from Keane. Well, I should have played this song. But, of course, I can't play that song or this Styx song, Crystal Ball. That is a Keane song called Crystal Ball. The lyrics of that say, "Oh, crystal ball, save us all, tell me life is beautiful. Mirror, mirror on the wall, oh, crystal ball, hear my song. I'm fading out, everything I know is wrong, so put me where I belong." And as a former Kramer follower, I now know that everything I knew was wrong, so I'm trying to get where I belong, too. Well, I mentioned changing the name of this show. I mentioned problems I'm having with the Apple iTunes store updating. And I appreciate several of you have written and said, "I use a Mac and I don't have any problem updating your show." And so that's good news. But, you know, I'm still kind of thinking of changing the name of the show anyway, just to put a little distance between me and you know who. And I think what I'll do is actually move to a brand new website, brand new web address, and a brand new feed. And I will ask you, when the time is right, to point your iTunes or point your podcatcher to the new feed address, which I'll give you plenty of time to plug in. The last show I did last week took me about a couple of hours on Monday when I was sitting down getting ready to record the show. The sound quality was horrible. And I couldn't figure it out. I looked over at my voice processor and I was twiddling knobs in my mixer and I was making sure things were plugged in correctly and I was trying different settings in the software. And it turns out, here's what it sounded like. It sounded like this. Does that sound any different to you? It sounds like I'm in a room with a lot of echo in it. The sound volume is a lot less. Well, the problem was my microphone was turned around to the wrong side. I was talking in the back side of the microphone. It looks the same, except for the logo on the front. And my microphone is behind one of those pop filters, a gray piece of, looks like stocking material almost. And so finally figured that out, and I'm glad I did. So our good bud Nevada, Nevstar, from Australia, is in second place out of the public version of the Portfolio Smackdown, and his strategy, it appears, is to short sell companies just after their pop in earnings announcements. Now, as he tells me, some of the companies you can't actually short on the real market, although maybe he can, if you're a true hedge fund operator or some guy, you can get in to these somehow. But so far, his strategy looks like a winner. Also got an email from TopDog2. I emailed him to welcome him to the forums out at madmoneymachine.com. He says, regarding shorting prior to the split, I only did it a couple of times, but I'm not so sure it's fair to the other players. I'm guessing it does not work that way in the real world. Yeah, right. I think you have to be in before the announcement of a split to reap the benefits. I probably won't do that anymore. Well, yes, you're right. It does not work that way in the real world. And I appreciate the nice comments you left for me, TopDog2 out at Yahoo. I saw something new out at IFA.com. It was the periodic table of investment returns. And I wondered if you knew what this is. And I thought I would turn to Mark Hebner to provide you with the answer.
Staring you right in the face is the answer.
Mark, what is the periodic table of investment returns?
Well, good morning, Paul. This table was designed many years ago, actually, by a firm called Callan & Associates. They came up with the original idea. and we just put in some of the IFA indexes to show the same point and make it more relevant to the indexes that we like to use. What you can see here is about 20 years of investment returns for about, what have we got here, about 10 different indexes. And what this does is it's a great reminder of how difficult it is to style pick. As you recall from our 12-step program, we have four different ways that investors can actively invest. They can pick stocks, they can pick managers, they can pick times, or they can pick styles, which we discuss in the style drifters step. So as you look through this table, let's just look the first year, 1987, you see international small value as the number one performing asset class. But by 1991, it was at the very bottom. And by 1992, it had lost 22% after making 53% back in 87. So all you have to do is kind of eyeball this chart to realize how difficult it is to pick the winning style in advance. And that's the main point of the periodic table of investment returns. Have a great day, Paul, and remember to buy and hold.
Thanks, Mark. I'll have a link to that chart in the show notes of this show. There you have the answer.
Staring you right in the face is the answer.
A couple of shows ago, I read a little bit of the abstract of one of Eugene Fama's most downloaded papers from SSRN, and I turn in Barron's this past weekend, and I see that he is named as the third recipient of the Fred Arditi Innovation Award presented by the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Center for Innovation. And a quote from him in the article says, "I have long maintained that the price of a stock reflects everything that is publicly known about the stock at any point in time and reflects the impact of events that have already occurred as well as events expected to occur in the near future. While market prices efficiently reflect value, price changes themselves cannot be predicted. This requires a need for risk management products such as those offered at CME. The ability to manage risks associated with future price fluctuation helps enable markets to operate more efficiently, and efficient markets are a cornerstone of capitalism." Well, congratulations, Eugene Fama, on being recognized in that way. And I surely hope that someday you'll be recognized as the Nobel Prize winner in economics for your work as well. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced numbers on a roulette wheel for names of the investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble and flex the guru, give a little background on investment philosophies. Here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Machine Show number 60 is Larry Swedrow. Larry E. Swedrow graduated from New York University with an MBA in finance. He's an author of a number of books on investing, lives in St. Louis, Missouri, where he's the principal in the firm of Buckingham Asset Management, and he is also a frequent contributor at diehards.org forums. And I've got a copy of a couple of his books. He has updated his book, The Only Guide to a Winning Investment Strategy You'll Ever Need, new 2005 edition. And there's an appendix back here that I thought you might enjoy. Appendix A is How to Analyze the Hold or Sell Decision. Trapped by a low tax basis? And here is the problem a number of people, at least I know I, have come up against. And that is, you have bought an actively managed fund and now you realize it's a mistake. You've had this fund for 5 or 10 or more years and it's gone up nicely in those 5 or 10 or more years. But you realize that compared to what else you could be invested in, like a low-cost index fund, that if you had that money invested in something else, you'd feel a lot better by paying lower expenses and maybe have the same or better gain. So what do you do? Should you sell it? You know what happens when you sell it? You have to pay the government taxes on all the gains that that fund has made in those 5 or 10 or more years. Assuming we're talking a taxable account. Now, if you're in an IRA or 401k, well, turn the page. So now you drop down how much money you have invested. He gives an example. Assume you have a portfolio of actively managed funds with a current value of a couple hundred thousand dollars and a basis of $150,000, meaning you have invested $150,000 into these funds and now they are worth $200,000. If we assume a total state of 5% and federal 15% tax rate, or 20% total capital gains tax rate, you would pay a tax of $10,000, which is the $50,000 times 20%, leaving you with only $190,000 of your $200,000 to reinvest. And then he goes through this math. He says, an actively managed fund underperforms its benchmark by close to 2% per year. Assume that your fund is better than average and will only underperform by 1% per year on a pre-tax basis. But since after-tax returns are the only ones that matter, assume your funds will underperform a passive alternative by a further 1% per year due to tax inefficiency. That brings the total to 2% per year. And with the availability of tax-managed index funds, which improve on the tax efficiency, we can raise the underperformance estimate to perhaps as much as 3% a year. And if we assume the fund you're currently holding is a large growth fund and you are contemplating holding a more diversified portfolio, you'd need to make a further adjustment. Because a more diversified portfolio has a higher expected return, meaning greater exposure to the risk factors of size and value, the expected underperformance of your current holding should be raised even further. Let's assume another 1%. That brings the total expected underperformance of the fund that you're owning now 4% a year. He says you can now estimate how long it would take to recoup the lost tax dollars. We'll take the $190,000 available for investments and multiply it by the 4% expected improvement in returns. The annual benefit is $7,600. You just divide that figure into 10,000 and we arrive at the break-even point in just over 1 year. And then he says, even if we cut our estimated savings to just 1% per year, the annual benefit would be $1,900, resulting in a break-even point of about 5 years, which would still be a very high return on your investment if you think of paying the tax and switching to a passive strategy as an investment in higher future expected returns. And his conclusion is, given the dramatic lowering of the capital gains tax in 2003, you may not be as trapped as you think. Well, I am in the process of reading this book, and I will tell you more about it in future shows. I'll keep his name on the guru roulette wheel in case we hit him again. And I encourage you to go out to diehards.org/forums, and you can ask questions out there, and maybe he'll give you his answer. There's our guru for show 60, Larry Swedrow. Just a quick update now to the Mad Money Machine Match Play Golf Classic. I'm Buffett Warrington. Well, this is the strangest weather I have ever encountered in all my career covering golf. We started out with a beautiful day here to Cotswolds, Hertfordshire, New Willisham, England. And then the heavens erupted and floods covered the golf course. After just a couple of holes of that, then the sun came back out. And play continues. People are coming back from their cars. After 6 holes, the average of the Cramer Influence Portfolio is up 2.08%, and the IFA Index Folio 100 up 7.73%. We'll get you back to Federation Curling on ESPN. It's time to pull something out of the tool crib. This is definitely one of the more advanced tools that I've pulled out of the tool crib. It asks the question, are you smarter than a fifth-year graduate student? Okay, here's the problem. Let's say that you're trying to figure out what your annual return is on your investments, what it has been. Well, it's easy if you haven't made any new investments into your account since the course of the year, since you're trying to calculate the values. So, for example, if your account had $10,000 in it at the beginning of the year, and at the end of the year it had $11,000, that's fairly obvious that it's a 10% gain, right? What if, though, you added $2,000 in the middle of the year, and at the end of the year it was worth $13,500. So let's see, you had $10,000, you added $2,000, that would make $12,000, but your total is $13,500. Well, you can't simply divide $13,500 by your $12,000 and come up with the correct answer. That's where the XIRR, or internal rate of return for aperiodic investments, comes in Excel spreadsheets. To get this working, you've got to go into the tools menu and select add-ins and choose the analysis tool pack and press OK. Then just make a table with the starting amount with the date beside it, and then every additional amount with the date beside it, and then the final amount with the date beside it. But here's the trick. For all the money, the starting amount and the amounts that you add, make those negative values. And for the final amount, make that a positive value. Make sure the dates are formatted as dates. And use the XIRR function in this way. Do equals XIRR parentheses, the range of the investments, comma, range of dates, comma, and just put in a guess as to the return. I'd put 0.1. End of parenthesis. And that'll give you the annualized rate of return across all of your investment. I've got an example at the website where we started with $10,000 at the beginning of the year, added $2,000 on April 15th, and ended up with $13,500 at the end of the year. That comes out as an internal rate of return of 13.2%. Good luck trying to figure that one out. Have fun playing with it. That's our tool in the crib this time. It's the XIRR function. Returns the internal rate of return for a schedule of cash flows that is not necessarily periodic. And of course, it's free. Provided you have Microsoft Excel 2000 or newer.
Specifically, if you, now you're going to this weekly format, if you still have your day job, so to speak, I'm curious if this has now become a full-time gig for you or not, and what that's meant to you and your family and so forth. Anyway, love the show. Keep it up. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Brian, for your question. I'm from a few shows back, and I promised to answer that a little bit at a time over the course of the next few shows. I've been with the same company for almost 16 years now. Over the course of the past year, I've been putting in a little bit fewer hours than a full-time employee. And I've been working on this show a little bit more. As you can tell, it's gone weekly. I have a possible opportunity coming up with the company to develop some executive visualizations. And these are presentation tools that are plugged into PowerPoint. That we take a organization's data, whatever it might be, and put it into a visualization so that at a glance, during a briefing, they can see thousands of facts all at once and have an interactive display on which to look at and compare data and make decisions. And it looks like a fascinating type of project, just the kind of thing that I've been most interested in working on throughout most of my career, and that is taking easily available data and presenting it in a easily understandable way. I'd actually like to do that same sort of thing with portfolio data, and I'll try to tell you more about that as I get into possibly doing some of that. But it's also one of the things that attracts me to Index Funds Advisors, IFA.com, with all of the displays they have out there, particularly the flash displays that are interactive, help you visualize 80 years worth of stock market returns. This has been Paul Douglas Boyer, saying it takes money to make money, and it takes turning it around the right way to make a mad money machine. I'll see you next week. In the meantime, please go visit our sponsor, Index Funds Advisors, at IFA.com, helping investors succeed by matching people with portfolios. Most music on this show provided by music.podshow.com.